Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, for you're an awesome God. And today we have the opportunity to worship you. We have the opportunity with palms and balloons and with our praise and thanksgiving to give you all honor and glory. Because, Lord, if we didn't, even the stones would cry out. That's the truth of the story of Palm Sunday, the story of Holy Week, the story of the cross and the empty tomb, the story of the resurrection and your ascension. All these things were planned from the beginning, and they would happen with or without us. But Lord, you invite us today to be living stones, to be part of the story, to be part of your plan. And Lord, we thank you for that. We honor you. We glorify you. You're an awesome God, and you invite us to be that holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, people who are chosen, people who are in covenant with you, people who walk with you, people who are filled with your Holy Spirit, people who can declare the truth of Jesus Christ as Hosanna, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King who brings peace and forgiveness, redemption, and eternal life and healing. Lord, we thank you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we are going to look at that gospel lesson that Brian just read for us. And what really caught my attention as we were preparing for Palm Sunday was the words that Jesus speaks when the Pharisees were having difficulty with him. If you remember, we started outside and we read the gospel according to John, and we heard how the Pharisees were getting frustrated and they were saying the whole world was following after Jesus. The whole world was going to him, similar to what Jesus said when he said, I will be lifted up and all men will be drawn to me, all people will be drawn to me. You see, it was happening, and the Pharisees were getting frustrated, and you could see their indignance as the people were coming and worshiping Jesus because of the miracles he did, and putting their garments when the palm branches... First they put the garments out in front of the donkey, and then they went and found palm branches to lay in front so that he could come in to Jerusalem. And they were hearkening back to Zechariah 9:9, where it says, "Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. For your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And he is salvation." He is bringing salvation. And the people must have understood. It says in the passage in John that they didn't understand until after the ascension and after the Holy Spirit was given. But I think the people must have understood because the feast was going on and they had seen the procession and people crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" which means "Save us now! Hosanna! Save us now!" And they must have heard and known what was about to happen. They knew something that Jesus, because of the miracles and because of what he was doing, he was the Messiah, and they were expecting great things, weren't they? They were praising him. Well, today I'm not going to look at the first part. It just basically tells us that Jesus told his disciples to go in and to ask for that colt that had never been ridden. And, he told his disciples what they were to say, which I thought was really cool because it happened just as he said it would. That you would expect that from God, wouldn't you? Expect Jesus to say things that are going to happen, because you got to believe either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord, right? Famous sermon from C.S. Lewis. Either you got to believe that he's telling the truth, or he's not telling the truth, or he's crazy, or he's Lord. Those are the only options you have. And if you were there and you saw that what he said would happened, you'd believe he's Lord, right? So I'd like to look. You can see here a picture of the triumphal entry. You can see Jesus, that poor colt. And he looked kind of tired. Looks kind of small, actually. But you can see the joy and the exuberance and the praise that's going up before God as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He's coming in from the Mount of Olives, and it's a pretty amazing thing because as he's coming in from the Mount of Olives, he's walking on pretty rocky ground, a lot of stones there, and he's walking in, and people are singing Hosanna, praising him, saying that he's the king who is to come. And he says, "And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down for the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Do you remember where that comes from? What did the angels sing at Jesus' birth? "And peace to his people on earth." Sounds pretty familiar, right? I don't think that's a mistake. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And I thought I'd get a picture of the Pharisees. And if you can see in the background there, see the people who are scowling? See the people with the frowns? Guess who they are? The Pharisees. They got prominent place right there, see? And looking at him going, "What is he doing?" They don't look happy. Not at all. And this is the picture of Jerusalem today. And you can see the rocks and the way that he would have to go into the city. So I'd like to challenge you today that this is going to be interactive. And I just want us to understand the plan. Because God had a plan. And the plan was there right from the beginning. And the plan was going to go ahead whether we participate or not. The plan is going to go ahead whether we like it or not. The plan is going to go ahead whether the Pharisees like it or not. The truth of the plan is that God is sovereign and God has made his covenant with us and God has promised us things and God is faithful in keeping his promise. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to respond as I go through this. I'm going to ask the men to say, "I tell you, if these were silent," and the ladies to respond, "the very stones would cry out." Can we try that? Men?
"I tell you, if these were silent."
Ladies? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Bible tells us, Satan was created as Lucifer, the worshiping angel. And when he decided to say no, he wasn't going to worship anymore, it didn't really matter because men... You see, it didn't matter if Satan didn't want to worship God anymore but wanted to be worshipped because God created Adam, and then Eve, and they were to be in fellowship with him, and they were to worship him, and they were to be those who would be in walking with him each and every day. And even when they fell, even when they did what they were not supposed to do, even when he had to bring judgment on them, and even when they were hiding because of fear and were not able to worship him, men, see the plan? It doesn't matter what we do, right? God has a plan. And when Abel was killed by Cain, and his blood cried out for vengeance, and God dealt vengeance on Cain, even when Abel was no longer able to praise him, men? You see, the whole story of God's plan is made evident in Abraham, who is promised a son, Isaac. And out of Isaac, we see Jacob. And of Jacob, we see Moses. And Moses is up against the sea with all of the people of Israel on their exodus out of Egypt. And all of a sudden, the sea divides, right? And they go through on dry ground, and God provides them a way out. And when they get to the other side, they sing this wonderful praise song that first Moses leads and then Miriam leads. And they sing about how the horse and rider was thrown into the sea. And even if they had never sung that song, men, you see, it doesn't matter if we're with the plan. It doesn't matter if we know what to say or what to do. It doesn't matter because God is sovereign and he has a plan. When Jeremiah tells us that the trees of the field will clap their hands, because he knows that all of creation, as Paul said, all of creation is moaning under the sin that has been brought into the world through us. We know that, men, very stones would cry out. You see, brothers and sisters, when Jesus was born, that manger in Bethlehem, even if the angels had never sang to the shepherds, even if the shepherds had never gone into Bethlehem, even if the Magi had never followed the star and came to the manger or to the house in Bethlehem, God's plan would still have taken place. Because, men, when Jesus is dealing with Satan, and Satan tells him, that he can feed him, that he can give him authority, that he can take care of him and give him everything he sees from the pinnacle of the temple, that he can rule over the earth, that he can do all these things if he'll just worship him. We know that it doesn't even matter that Jesus proclaimed to Satan the truth of God's word. It doesn't even matter because in God's plan of salvation, men, stones would cry out. You see, when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees in John's gospel and they start always reminding him that they're children of Abraham, Jesus says, out of stones he could make children of Abraham, right? Don't put your faith in religion. Don't put your faith in what you do. Put your faith in what God does. Put your faith in the fact that he has chosen you. Because out of stones can he make children of God. How much more can we understand that no matter what we do, we fail to meet the mark. We fail to do what we're supposed to do. We fail miserably and are called sinners because we miss the mark. And no matter what we try to do, no matter how hard we work, no matter what we sing, no matter what we say, no matter what we write, no matter what we proclaim, no matter how hard we work, we will never be good enough and righteous enough to make the mark for God. Because he demanded that there be a perfect sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus, who was fulfilling the plan, was born in Bethlehem, lived, did all those miracles, and has just raised Lazarus from the tomb, is about to go into the city on that colt, the foal of a donkey. It doesn't matter whether the people were worshiping him, whether his disciples were rejoicing and singing about him, whether people were crying out, Hosanna, because men, the very stones would cry out. You see, brothers and sisters, it is so true that God invites us, and this is why I did this today, because have you ever read 1 Peter? Where 1 Peter tells us that we are living stones? You ever read that? It tells us we're living stones. And I always think to myself, boy, that really doesn't give us, he doesn't think much of us, does he? Look at the stone. Living stones. In the Holy Land, there's lots of these. It's a very rocky place. He says, living stones. Because what God is inviting us to do, and what's so important about Palm Sunday and the Passion Week, is that God invites us to be part of it. He invites us to be part of God's plan. He says that there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do to warrant what we receive. It is totally a gift from God by his grace. But he invites us to be part of the heavenly chorus, doesn't he? He invites us to be living stones. He invites us to cry out the truth of who Jesus is. He invites us to welcome others into our fellowship. He invites us to be the church of Jesus Christ, be salt and light wherever we are. He invites us to declare to people the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done and why he was going to the cross for. He was going to be the once and for all sacrifice for sin, past, present, and future. He was going to be that once and for all sacrifice for us. And it doesn't matter whether we're part of the choir or not, men, stones would cry out. But my prayer is this Holy Week that you'll take the time, that you'll come to the Seder meal on Thursday, that you'll come because we have a special choir coming that's going to be awesome. Almost 30 people singing wonderful songs on Good Friday, Tenebrae service. Please take that in. And we're going to have the sunrise service and then the service next Sunday. I just pray that you take advantage of the opportunity God gives to us because he says you can be part of the angel chorus. You can be little stones because what does he say about the stones? They would cry out. You can be part of the angel chorus. You can be part of the celebration. You can be a part of what heaven is doing when heaven, all heaven is rejoicing when one person comes to salvation. You can be a part of that because it doesn't end on Palm Sunday, does it? The plan doesn't end even on Good Friday, does it? The plan doesn't even end on Easter Sunday. The plan doesn't even end at his ascension. The plan doesn't even end at Pentecost when we receive the Holy Spirit that I hope all of us have overflowing within us. The The plan doesn't end until the Lord returns and takes us to a new heaven and a new earth, where we will see all of creation worship God, like Isaiah saw when he saw the seraphim and cherubim singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That we will be part of that heavenly chorus, that we will be part as living stones of the celebration, because we know, men, stones would cry out. The very stones will cry out. And the invitation for us today is to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness won for us, the cross of Calvary that you received in the body and blood of Christ, so that you can be those living stones, that royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can be part of the heavenly chorus, and you can celebrate, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." For he has a plan, and he invites us to be part of that plan. He invites us to walk with him, to fellowship with him, and to be his children each and every day. To declare, "Men, I'm sorry, we're definitely too German here. Because I don't think, that's not convincing at all. It's just not convincing. If you want me to stop, so you can go eat, you got to be more convincing. There's motivation here. Okay? Men? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Are you living stones?
Yes.
Do you want to be part of the celebration?
Yes.
Are you ready to be part of the angel chorus?
Yes.
Men, I tell you, if these were silent, ladies, let's say it together. I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Alleluia. Amen.